and did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to the servant, Bring forth the robe, the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fattest calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. I'm going to have Brother Pope go ahead and pray for us. 15, and in verse 15, it says that he joined himself to a citizen. And when I was sitting here reading this scripture, and the Lord laid it on my heart, and he started making me think about when I got out of church and what happened there. And I started thinking about it. You know, you teenagers, when you decide to get out of church, or when adults or young people, when you decide to get out of church, it's not just you making that choice. You have to end up being a part of something or a part of somebody that's going to pull you out of the church. It could be anything. It could be your job. It could be friends. It could be school. It could be any little thing. And what I'm trying to say here is saying, keep away from them certain things that in your life. Amen. Over in Proverbs 28, it says, in Proverbs 28:12, Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in the evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the upright shall have good things in possession. And what now, this prodigal son, we know the story about he got out, he went into the far country, and he went into the pit with the pigs because he lost all his money, lost all his goods, lost everything. And what I'm trying to get at is, teenagers, I've been at that point in my life where I had everything that I ever wanted. I had the money, I had the friends, I had all that stuff, but I was in a pit. I was in a hog pen. And what I'm trying to get through to realize is that hog pen is nowhere you want to be. Has anybody ever been in a hog pen here today? Have you ever? You know how muddy and nasty it is, and the deeper you go in there, the harder it is to come out. And that mud and that muck and everything that's on you is even harder to get off than it was. And what this is what I'm trying to get at. So these little things, it might be a friend, it might be a job. I don't know who's in here that needs this message, but I know the Lord has me to preach this message for a reason. And I know that I've been in that hog pen. I've been away. And it was my job that pulled me away from church. It was my job that pulled me away from my family. It was my job that pulled me away from God. See, those little things that you think that aren't going to hurt you, that's going to pull you away, you are going to end up falling away so far you're never going to know where you went wrong. And this is where I'm trying to get a hold of you teenagers and a hold of you young people. Like I said, that pit is no place you need to be. That pit's, you think about it, a hog pen. You know, a hog, I was reading about this the other day. You know, hogs will eat their owners. And there's been stories of hogs eating their owners. You know, there's things in that pit that's going to cause you to fall, and that will destroy you. That will sit there and eat you up, and you'll never know whatever happened. And going down in verse 17, it says, he came to himself. He basically hit rock bottom. You know, for you to move on in your life to do something for God, you're going to have to hit rock bottom, because we're too dumb to realize that what we're doing is going to hurt us in the long run. We're too dumb to realize that, hey, the things we're doing is going to hurt not only yourself, but it's going to hurt your family, going to hurt your church, going to hurt your friends. It might even pull somebody out of church that you are friends with. You might be the cause of somebody else falling. In Proverbs 29:23, it says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Your pride will bring you very low. And my family and my friends from my church know my testimony, know my backstory. And it was pride that kept me from coming back to church. Hey, I was out of church for 3.5 years because of my pride. 3.5 years of my life I wasted. Why? Because I had pride. It took the Lord bringing me down low. And when I say He brought me down low, He brought me down low. I lost everything. My family, they didn't even want to be around me because I was so angry and mean of myself. Because I was in that pit and I was just covered with all that muck and that nasty and that sin that just drove me away from my family. Drove me away from my friends and my church. You think you have it figured out, don't you? But you're going to end up hitting a low spot in your life. God had to put me in prison to get a hold of me. What is it going to take for you? Loss of a loved one? Losing everything you had, your kids, your friends? Whatever the case may be, you don't have to go through it. You want to know why you don't have to go through it? Whew. Go down to verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. But he was yet a great way off. Let me tell you something. God's looking for you to come back. God's looking for you to come back. I'll tell you, I remember the night God was looking for me to come back to him. Whew. You know, here I'm going to throw something out there. Just because you've sinned and you got back in church doesn't mean you have to sit on your butt in church. That means you can still go out there and do something. I mean, I'm the one that I thought I would never preach. I thought I'd never lead singing. But hey, the Lord is using my testimony and what I've been through to reach young people and to reach teenagers and other people that I work with. So if you think that just because you sinned and you've done these bad things, the Lord can still use you. No matter what you've been through. But man, let me just tell you, He saw him afar off. God's looking for you. He's looking for you just to come on down to this altar and just lay everything out and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I just want to be used by you. I just want you to use me. I'm sorry for the things that I've done. I don't know what you guys are going through, but maybe there's one person in here that might be about to go into that pit, go into that nasty mud hole where them hogs are that will destroy you. Maybe the Lord just wants to get a hold of your heart. And down in verse 23, I love this. He bringeth hither the fatteth calf and killed it and let us eat and marry. For one, I like it because I love food. I like to eat. And if you know my brother, everybody says I look like my brother. I'm starting to get there. But what I'm trying to say is, it doesn't matter where you've been or what you're doing. He still loves you. He's still going to take care of you. He's still going to be there for you. He's still going to sit there and bring you up and say, I have you right here with me. There's nothing to even worry about. There's nothing you have to worry about. There's nothing that you have to just think about. It's all taken care of because I love you and you're my child and you're my son and you're my daughter. But I'm going to tell you right now, there is no better feeling than when you get right with God.
That's right. Hey.
I know this is a short message. I didn't believe him when I said it, and he said he was going to preach. So then last minute, I was like, oh, Lord, I need something. I need something to preach here. And the Lord gave me this, man. I started thinking about it. I was sitting in my truck getting ready to go to work, and I started crying, thinking about where the Lord's brought me from and what he's done for me. I'm going to tell you this right now, young people. It's better to just get it done and over with right now and getting right with God than having to go back through all the mess that a lot of these preachers and a lot of these other older people in this church have gone through. My parents, that I'll never forget my parents, I asked my mom, I said, what did you guys do when I left the house? My mom and dad told me they cried, thinking that they did something wrong. You think that you are doing something because you think you're your own man. You think you're going to sit here and decide, hey, I can do this. I'm an adult. I can take care of this. I can do this. I can do that. But you ain't listening and you ain't looking at the people you affect. I can count other teenagers that I affected that are no longer in church anymore. Brother David, how many teenagers have we had in our church that we've affected that they ain't there no more? There's a lot. I remember in camp there was 5 boys that I used to hang out with. I'm the only one left. Those are the boys I did things with. One of the boys in particular, named Michael Moore. I was messing around with stupidness with him. He was our deacon's son. I was supposed to be with him one day. They ended up getting drunk, getting behind the wheel of a car, and hit a tree going 80 miles an hour. The one boy died. The other one, Michael Moore, doesn't remember anything. Hasn't been in church. His life is a wreck. And I started thinking about that boy. If I just stood up for the Lord and I did what was right, where would he be? And I'm not saying that you're going to make changes in people's lives. I'm not saying you're gonna be like some person's great, I don't even know what to call it, but somebody that's going to, you're going to influence somebody. But you do have an effect on people. You do have an effect on these little ones that run around this church. You teenagers, you can have an effect in your school that we can never even touch. You teenagers, you can reach other teenagers that we can never reach. You adults, you guys can reach the men at your work or the women at your work that I could never reach. You think about that. You think about, and then I started looking at this. I just thought about this. He has an older brother. Think about that older brother. If that older brother maybe even just, I don't know the story. But the way I'm thinking is that that older brother kind of mentored his little brother just a little bit. He would have had an effect on his little brother. Do you think he would ever go out? Like I said, it wasn't a long message. I want to just get aside and let the other preacher come. But just think about where the Lord has brought you from. And teenagers, don't think about where the devil can take you. Because honestly, there ain't nothing more happier than being right here in church and serving the Lord. What's it going to take, teenager? What's it going to take? Are you going to get away from that certain person, that job, that game? I mean, I don't know what it is. It can be anything that can take you out of church just like that. And it'll be a moment of time. I don't think this young man thought he would ever be in a hog pen. I don't think this young man ever thought, he's like, I have it all taken care of. But the Lord put him in that hog pen for a reason. I just don't want to see you young people and you teenagers end up in the bad place. I don't want to come here next year and be like, where's so-and-so? And they'd be like, oh, Brother Josh, they ain't in no more. They're in that hog pen. Just because you decided that you knew what's best. And if you are out there, how about you come to yourself? How about you get things right tonight? I would get things right now so you can enjoy the rest of the services. Amen? And if you are out there, why don't you do something about it? Stop sitting around and playing the game of church. Stop sitting around playing the game of life. Oh, I'm a Christian. I go to church every day. I've been there. I know what it's like. Why don't you get things right tonight? And just remember, he still loves you no matter where you've been, where you're going, or what you're going to do. God still loves you. He's always sitting here waiting. Preacher, I'm